coming up this week on the Course of Life podcast. It is a massive week in the world of golf. We had a Waste Management Phoenix Open with a familiar back-to-back champ, and the Netflix doc drops this week. I watched episode one and clue you in on everything you need to watch for, and a return from a guy named Tiger as well. Plus, we're tuned into my 80 for Brady review and Mike's trip up north. And this week's guest, that's right, we have Heisman Trophy winner and Florida Gator legend, Danny Werfel, on the podcast. Danny Werfel on the Course of Life, talking everything from his career in the game and a really cool event he does surrounding golf and charity as well. And it's the Super Bowl spread recap and cannolis when we always end with food. All of it brought to you by our friends at Desert Fox Golf. And Mike, I don't know what you saw from Desert Fox Golf this past week, but when we had Scott on last week's episode from the PGA show, he said how crazy the week was going to be out there in Phoenix. And it certainly delivered with the Super Bowl waste management double, as we like to call it.
Yeah, it was epic, as you would expect with those two events happening simultaneously.
Quite the party week indeed. I'm glad Scott made it through alive. Got a bunch of rounds of golf in and a lot of networking, and it was really cool to see him out there. And obviously, he was showcasing everything Desert Fox Golf has to offer, which we love: the phone caddy, the cigar holder, their merch, everything else, the swing aid tumblers, all designed to enhance the golf experience for you. So check out Desert Fox Golf. Our promo code is Course of Life to save 10% off. Again, promo code Course of Life to save 10% off at Desert Fox Golf and DesertFoxProducts.com.
Hello, interwebs, and welcome to Course of Life. We are proud to be presented by our friends at Desert Fox Golf and Voris Golf. I'm Michael. He's Alex. And Alex, happy Valentine's Day.
Oh, thanks, love. How are you doing? Yeah, it's been a little bit since I talked. Great. I knew you'd miss me, so thanks for that greeting.
So much. I didn't get you flowers or chocolate, but I did get you Scottie Scheffler returning to the number one world ranking as he repeats at the Waste Management Phoenix Open in
Pretty impressive.
Scottsdale. He seems to like these late winter, early spring events, so I'm going to go ahead and say it right now. Scottie Scheffler repeats as Masters champion.
I mean, this is a carbon copy of what he did in 2022. It's a little eerie. He started the year off with this win on Super Bowl Sunday in 2022 at the Waste Management. And then I feel like I've rattled off this heater so many times. I could say this, you know, with a gun to my head. And then he won at Bay Hill. And then he won the Dell match play. And then 2 weeks later, he won the Masters. It was an unbelievable run. And I guess he's going to try and repeat the same thing, it sounds like. So he's going to take a couple of down weeks. He'll be back to win at Bay Hill, and he'll just keep the pattern rolling every single year, right?
I mean, if it works, it works. Why mess with perfection?
Yeah, nice to have a Masters buildup by winning three times in the West Coast and Florida swing. That's a nice buildup to the Masters, right?
I mean, it would be awfully phenomenal and epic if he were to actually
number one. That's for sure. I can guarantee that.
Yeah, it really would. Scottie Scheffler, 1900 par, two clear of the pack, really just seemed to cruise. He had 65s. He had a 64 in there on Friday as well.
Big eagle on the par five.
Just all around great play from him. And falling into solo second, the Canadian, Nick Taylor, who beat out the likes of John Rahm, Justin Thomas, a resurgent Jason Day. I love seeing his name back on the leaderboard. Jordan Spieth was in the mix. Xander Schauffele, Ricky Fowler, who had an ace as well. There were a lot of huge names on this leaderboard. This is exactly what the PGA Tour wanted when they wanted elevated events.
Absolute home run. We talked about how this is and I wrote this in my Run the Mirror Pool article previewing the event. This was like the Super Bowl of golf PR. And it completely delivered. You had a massively loaded leaderboard with all the biggest names. It was four stars, and no offense to Nick Taylor, but four stars and Nick Taylor, and then the final five when it all came to be done. There were all sorts of names like Ricky Fowler coming out of the woodworks. Jordan Spieth had himself a week. JT sniffed contention. Rahm was circling around the lead. Scheffler got it done. Schauffele was there. Yeah, you had all the right guys showcasing the best talent in the PGA. At an epic venue, we say it every year, that party that week you know, people, you know, that's not for every week of the golf calendar, but for this 1 week in Scottsdale on the golf calendar, that is the exact right vibe. I love that party scene there. And it just seems to get more and more epic every year.
It does seem like the Waste Management Phoenix Open is golf, but louder.
Oh, yeah. Where did you get that from? You just came up with that? Wow.
I did. Yeah. You know, it's just like the media has built it up into such a huge event because the fans have decided to do everything they do. They may not have been able to throw beer on the green this year, but they did have a beer cup snake going on in the stands. And we had
a streaker that made it from the 16th to a belly flop on the 17th green in the water hazard. And then he actually swam out to the Waste Management letters out by the 17th green and 18th tee. And then that was the end. He just ran out of energy at that point. So just
epic. Epic.
We'll see if that's in maybe season two or three of the Netflix doc. How about that? Oh, you know, I don't know if that's going to quite make the cut, but that was a fun headline from the Waste Management for the golf social media world for sure.
I love it. Let's talk Netflix because Full Swing is dropping on Wednesday, but they did a tease. They dropped the first episode already.
They did, yes. So I got through episode one, so I'm going to speak to that right now. And this is going to be a big week for me, Mike. You know, I am notoriously, not really an anti-binge guy, just I am incapable of binging shows. My brain won't allow me to do that. But this is going to be a binge week for me where I am going to roll through this entire season, probably in about 3 or 4 days, a very unprecedented watching experience for me. So.
Yeah, you know, I'm really upset to hear you say that because that means I have to find time to do that as well this week. And that's going to be difficult.
Yeah, I'm going to be badgering you all week for sure. But I'll catch everyone up on episode one right now. All you need to know about episode one, Mike, is it featured the relationship that we know, Jordan Spieth and Justin Thomas, frenemies for life. Those guys go back a long way to junior golf and they highlighted their growth in the game. And look at them now. They're both just flying in the same private plane to and from tournaments together. They practice together, you know, in downtime and off weeks. It was cool to see them do a scouting trip to Southern Hills for the PGA Championship. And then they followed Justin Thomas in that winning week where he had that unbelievable 7-shot comeback in the final round at Southern Hills to get that win. A lot of cool behind the scenes moments. The most random moment, Mike, that you'll appreciate is they play a game on the private jet where one of them holds a deck of cards and the other just guesses a card in the deck. And if they guess the exact card, they win $1,000. That's just rich people games on private jet life right there.
Oh, man, that's just, you know, we were not gifted at birth. Let me just
say
that.
The life of a golfer is quite something these days, especially if you're a professional, too.
Yeah, it's just
so that was episode one there. I mean, obviously we'll get into the rest of the season in next week and weeks to come. Maybe we talk a couple episodes at a time as we work through it in the next few weeks here. But again, Full Swing dropping on Wednesday. If episode one's any indicator, you're going to get some real good behind the scenes looks that we definitely haven't seen on the CBS or the network broadcast in recent years.
I also want to talk real quick because this did drop this last week, this little tidbit of information from Greg Norman. LIV Golf expects to earn the majority of their revenue over the next year after having no revenue this past year to come all from merchandise. Because, you know, we all know the Aces and the Daces and the Jace. I don't know any of the other team names.
The four Aces are going to be selling what? $100 million worth of merch. It sounds like
that's the plan. I just think it's incredible that we expect to make hundreds of millions, billions of dollars off merchandise this year to earn back our investment. So
silly me. I thought that this was a plan for an alternative world golf tour and an outlet for those who were wronged by the horribly greedy PGA Tour. Silly me, Mike. This is actually just a merchandise company all along. I didn't realize that was the goal here, was just to print funny t-shirts and sell them. If LIV had just led with that maybe a year or two ago, I think I might have been a little bit more open to it. You know what I mean? Yeah. I didn't realize this was just a merch company at heart. Interesting.
Well, you know, if they want to be golf but louder, really they should be in the speaker business as well. I'm just going to give out free ideas.
That's
now.
Right. A LIV speaker would work. I think they should have some louder merch, to be honest. Their merch is very like business trim. And I get the audience that they're going for and who they're playing to, obviously, because of the money being thrown around. But if they are golf but louder, I think they're going to have to go a little bit brighter with the merch. That's going to be my first first suggestion for them. Greg Norman, if you want more ideas, it's going to cost you. So you can hit us up in the DMs if you're looking for more merch ideas. We'll be glad to help for a price. Though.
More than happy to sell our souls to help you out with the merchandise. Hey, let's look ahead to the Genesis Open at Riviera. Presented by Hyundai, the Genesis brand. It used to be the Hyundai Genesis. Now it's just Genesis brand. Okay. Hey, some guy, I don't know if you've heard of this guy. Some guy is going to be playing for the first time since the Open at this tournament. Oddly enough, this is the tournament where his career almost ended.
Yeah, I just thought about that 8 seconds ago as you were doing that intro. I hadn't put it together that Tiger Woods is making this return and debuting in 2023. At the same venue and tournament where he had that horrible accident that nearly took his life. We discussed like probably could have in any other given day, but it's a miracle he survived. And lo and behold, he's back now playing in the Genesis Open. Now, this is just a month and a half, if you remember the last time we saw him on the golf course, of him, you know, in Florida on some pretty flat tracks, needing the cart to play 18 holes with Charlie. And being able to walk to the ball, but using the cart for a 12-hole exhibition match under the lights in Florida. That's the last time we've really seen much golf from him. And now he's going to go tee it up in a PGA Tour event. I'm not sure what to think of this.
And Riv is not a flat course, from what I remember.
No, it's not.
So I wonder if this is we're going to see if my leg can do this because I want to play Augusta, and Augusta is not a flat course either sort of thing. You know, that's my thought process here is that's where he's thinking he's going to do it.
Maybe this and one Florida event before the Masters, this could be it. This could be the only event he plays before the Masters, actually.
I mean, I would expect this. I would expect, do we think he's going to
match play one last time, maybe for the road? I don't know.
I was going to say Bay Hill, but if he can get in, you would expect him to play Bay Hill. So.
Yeah, you're right. No, that's an interesting thought. Max Homa made the joke, which you'll appreciate. Max Homa said, I think we're going to have to carry Tiger down the hill at one and up the hill at 18. But besides that, he should be okay. So, it's hard on the elevation. You know, the legs, they're giving out. He's an old man now. Jeez.
That's true. But hey, former world number one, Rory McIlroy, will be there.
It's been so long. Wow.
So long. And he is the so we know he'll be there. Colin Morikawa, Max Homa, everybody. It's going to be good times. They all saw Tiger and went, okay, I'll play.
Designated event, $3.6 million to the winner, just like last week. $20 million purse. Are you hearing these numbers I'm saying right now? $3.6 million to the winner at Riviera. So everyone's there. As for my picks, I had six on my runyourpool.com article, so check there. But I'll tell you, you got to go with one of the three, Rahm, Rory, or Scheffler. I feel like that's the new kind of, that's the landscape if you're putting a card together. If you don't have at least one of those three guys on your card, I'm not sure who you're picking this week.
I think the fourth guy on the card is Max Homa. And the fifth guy on the card is Keegan Bradley right now. Might have to be on there for like a top 10.
Look at you plucking one of the guys on my card. Look at you. Wow.
One more I'm going to throw out there. Tiger Woods to make the cut.
120-1 odds, by the way, on Tiger to win this week. 121.
I'm just saying to make the cut. I don't think he's going to win. I'm just saying to make the cut.
All right, so there you go. There's your mini card. The rest of my picks at runyourpool.com. Out of those three, I am going with Rory. And I do have Keegan Bradley on my card. He's played well at Riviera before. So wouldn't be surprised to see him back on the leaderboard as well.
He's also number three in the FedEx Cup right now still. So nice. Just saying. Let's switch over to Tuned In, where we share what we're tuning into outside of the world of sports. I was absent last week. We aired that episode with all those wonderful interviews you did live
on the PGA show. Yeah, it was great.
I was up north in New England. I was in New Hampshire and Boston for a short time to enjoy some family. Not as much family as originally intended because the brother and his family all started coming down with COVID the day before I was to go up there. So
perfect timing.
But did go skiing.
I saw that. Whoa, first time in how long for you hitting the slopes?
Since 2018.
Okay.
I think
how'd you fare out there?
I did pretty well. One of the friend who hadn't skied since maybe 2017, so both of us had some not very strong legs for skiing, but it was a lot of fun to be back out there. You know, it's like riding a bike. It just all comes back to you really fast.
What are we talking here? Blue squares, black diamonds, bunny hill? What were you doing?
Mostly blue squares, maybe hit one or two diamonds. A lot of the diamonds on the mountain that I went to were closed, actually. So,
okay, cool.
Yeah,
Well, you made it back in one piece. That's always the important thing when you go skiing.
Back in one piece is an important story I want to share.
Oh, okay. All right.
I think you saw my Twitter on Saturday when returning.
We have to break down what happened here. I didn't get the full story on this.
So let's start at the beginning here. So at I'm an 11:50 flight leaving Manchester Boston Regional Airport in Manchester, New Hampshire.
Okay.
And at 11:10-ish, I get up and I just do a quick lap around the airport. It's tiny airport. It's like 12 gates because I just want to stretch my legs before getting on the plane. And in the process of doing it, I go all the way to the other end of the airport and I see a Spirit Airlines flight just like empty. Just they all come out and they all come down to like a different gate area and they just all sit out.
Interesting.
And I'm like, that's bizarre. And then I walk back over to my gate area and I'm waiting. And at 11:20, when they're going to start boarding, they say, hey, y'all, we're just going to put a pause on boarding. Our flight crew's on the other side of security. And it looks like for some reason they're just not doing anything through security right now. And it's like, well, that's bizarre. Okay,
little yellow flag there. All right.
Yellow flag. Like 15 minutes later, they come on and they say, hey, everyone, we don't really know what's going on, but there's some sort of security thing and they're not letting anyone through security. And I look around and I see I'm right next to security. There's nothing happening in security except for the TSA agents all kind of like clustered together. So no one's coming through security. No idea what's going on. I start seeing cops and other TSA agents kind of moving rather rapidly through the terminal.
Oh boy. Okay.
I see a canine unit move through the terminal, moving rather dogs. Quickly. And we're like, what's going on? We don't know what's going on. I see an airport executive, someone in a white shirt, go up to our gate agents and say, hey, we're on a ground stop. No one's going anywhere.
Ooh, like, that's an eerie word to hear.
Okay. And so we're kind of waiting around trying to figure out what happened. And then all of a sudden a mass of people from the other side of the terminal start moving toward the exit. And we see cops and TSA agents coming over and they're pushing us all out. They're telling us all to leave. And which is like, okay, so we all leave. We think we have to exit the airport. It's cold out there because it's New Hampshire. And instead, though, they have us wait in baggage claim. And we just sit there and wait for like an hour or so. And then they start letting – then during this whole time, seeing a lot more canine units going in and out of the terminal.
You're just wondering at this point, what the hell is going on in there, right?
Now, through all this, I'm also actually communicating with a reporter from WMUR-TV in Manchester, New Hampshire, the ABC affiliate, about what's going on.
True journalist right there. Nice move.
True journalism. And here that there's also bomb-sniffing dogs on the tarmac as well from what they can see. No idea exactly what's going on. No one's saying anything. And then they finally, after a while, start issuing us back in the airport. They kind of do it by flight. This flight go in and go back through security. This flight go in and back through security. And we go in and we go on
our
merry way.
What ended up going on here? What was the verdict here?
It was a bomb threat phoned into Spirit Airlines about that flight. So there was no bomb threat.
Spirit Airlines. Yeah, that's pretty on brand. That sounds about right.
Bottom line is don't fly Spirit. And, everyone is very cooperative and calm. There was no one freaking out. Everyone was just like, we don't know what's happening. But obviously they have our best interest at heart. They're just trying to keep us all safe. Security crews, would there have been nice to have more communication? Yeah, but you're not going to tell us there's a possible bomb. You're not going to tell us that. So all in all, it was one of the most eventful flying days I've ever had.
Indeed. And I love that you just immediately took to Twitter and your content brain was just going off as soon as this happened. I love that.
Everything is content, Alex. Everything is content.
It is. And that's perfect segue because that's exactly what was flowing through my head when I made the decision to spend my hard-earned money and go purchase a movie ticket and go into a movie theater and actually pay to see 80 for Brady, the movie, Mike. That's something I did. That with content on the brain.
So do you think that did you fall for Tom Brady during 80 for Brady like all the other 80-year-olds did?
Well, he wasn't on there as much as I would have liked, Mike. I would have liked to look into his eyes for a little bit longer, but he didn't have that much screen time.
I mean, you could just watch his retirement announcement again and he just stares at the camera the whole time. So you could just do that.
I will. Yeah, I wish I could get to that beach and recreate that scene. I might do it when I go to Florida in a few weeks. But it was cool to see. It was a retrospective movie. And obviously it had its moments of cheesiness because of the just plot and cast and everything like that. But very fun, lighthearted film. But it was all based around the Super Bowl in which the 28-3 comeback happened. So this wasn't just based around any old Tom Brady winning effort. it was the one. It was the greatest one. So it made that moment all the more special. Recounted the whole weekend that I had there in Houston. I was there in Houston for that whole Super Bowl weekend. And that was an unforgettable memory. Overall, this movie's not going to be winning any awards. I know that's surprising you, Mike. It's not. It's going to be overlooked in Oscar nominations. I know that's a little baffling to you, but if you are a New England sports fan or you just kind of like living in the glory of Tom Brady, then check out 80 for Brady. I'm going to go. We'll go 2.5 out of 5 stars.
So, okay. Yeah. Okay. Would it be better if you had an iced regular and a Boston cream in your hand while watching it?
It may have been. Yeah. I mean, I had an orange crush and a big tub of popcorn. So that's not a bad second place, but
no, it's not.
Might have been better. Yeah, you're right.
Okay.
So, that's the review.
There you go. 80 for Brady. Let's go ahead and get into this week's guest. Alex, this last year included some pretty phenomenal guests on this podcast. We, of course, had Pat Monahan, the frontman for Train.
Yes.
On the podcast. We've had LPGA Tour winners. We've had a PGA Tour winner on this podcast before. But something we've never had on the podcast is a Heisman Trophy winner.
How about that? First Heisman Trophy winner on the course of life, and a great one at that. From my earliest memories and our earliest memories of college football, growing up in the 90s as 90s kids, Florida Gator football was on top of the map and on top of the landscape in college football. And our next guest, Danny Werfel, joining the show here, is not only a Heisman Trophy winner, but a great guy, humanitarian, golfer in his own right, and he shares some really amazing stories throughout his football career. And we get into the funnier side of being a Florida Gator legend as well, too.
Yep. And we'll get into that conversation with Danny in just a moment from the floor of the PGA show, we should say as well, live from that floor. But let's talk about our friends at Voris Golf. We've talked about them a lot before. We even had Alex from Voris Golf on this podcast before to kind of share more of that Voris journey and what it's about. And since I just went skiing, you know, I had ski gloves that let me use my phone with the gloves on. And that's just like the Voris Golf lets you do. It lets you use your smart touch device golf on your hand. It's realized that through touch technology that they have put into their super soft, grippy leather gloves, it's just phenomenal. You know, it's something that you don't think you need until you have it.
Well said.
And you're like, why didn't I have this before? So Voris Golf, that's VORAUSGolf.com. They've got polos and hats as well, rocking their V green, their green V, because they've got a lot
rocking
of
rocking the V all the time
too. That's right. You can catch it all at VorisGolf.com. Their gloves, their polos, their hats, and you can save 18% off anything with our promo code. That's COL18. Again, COL18 for 18% off anything at vorisgolf.com. Voris, it's German for advancement. So check them out, vorisgolf.com.
All right, welcome back. It's Course of Life live from the PGA show floor. Really excited to have our next guest. We got bucket list items that we love checking off for guests on the show. Our first Heisman Trophy winner joining the Course of Life by my side here. Heisman Trophy winner, College Football Hall of Famer, Florida Gator legend as well, too.
Thanks, love it. Alex.
Danny Werfel joining us. Danny, how are you?
Good to be with you.
Yeah, it's great to see you out here on the show. So this is your first PGA show, as I understand it. My thoughts and everything going on here.
This is incredible. It's like a little event on major, major steroids. It's you can walk forever and not see the same thing.
Yeah, this is my second show. Last year was a little bit trimmed down because all the big manufacturers weren't here. They are all back in a big way. So this was the full effect. So I'm glad you're seeing it this way for the first time. In terms of Florida and where we are now, obviously you're Florida through and through. I'm sure that you love being home in the state of Florida. I'm curious, recognition from people on the show floor. Do you get a lot of, hey, Danny, Gator chomps? What have you seen out here this week so
far?
Not a ton,
but there's been a few. Somebody, you know, some people came up while we were around and got some autographs. And so it did come up. It was interesting. And she said that for years she thought she was going to marry me. But fortunately, we're both happily married, not to each other now.
So you led separate paths.
So we did. We led separate paths, but it's been great. It's fun to be back in Florida always.
Very cool. Let's go back to the beginning. I know you're a Florida boy. Obviously, God, Florida high school football recruiting. I can't imagine what that was like from your perspective back in the day. But why was it always Steve Spurrier and the Gators for you? And how did that choice come to you?
Yeah. Well, it wasn't always that. You know, I was really leaning towards Florida State. I really loved and admired Bobby Bowden. I took a trip to Alabama and really loved and admired Gene Stallings and the Alabama program. And but then I took a trip to Florida and, you know, Coach Spurrier, his success with quarterbacks is unbelievable, unparalleled. So the chance to play for him, one, was important to me. And then secondly, if I wasn't playing football and I was just a student, the chance to go to Florida as a student is incredible. It's a top five university now. And it just has always been a great academic institution.
Definitely. No, I appreciate you saying that. It definitely has gotten a lot of accolades in that aspect. And from a program's perspective, your college football career was amazing, like really idyllic. And it was probably filled with a lot of adversity from your shoes as well. But from where you got from freshman year to the end in 1996, tell me about the growth of yourself as a person and a player in that time.
Man, you know, looking back at that period of time, sometimes I pinch myself because it was like the way it happened was so magical. Like if you made a movie about it, you wouldn't believe it because it went so well. And, you know, we won 4 SECs. We played for the national title twice, won it the last time. But you're right. There was a lot of growth. I played on and off my first 2 years. I injured my knee and had surgery and had to sit a lot more than I would have wanted as a competitor. And there's challenges along the way. But I tell you, to cap it off with a win against Florida State for the national title in the Sugar Bowl couldn't have been a better ending.
Definitely. And the interesting aspect of that game, I remember, is that was a little bit of a vengeance aspect, too, to explain what happened earlier in the season.
Yeah, so we were both undefeated in the last game of the regular season. And basically, back then especially, if you lost at the end of the year, you really didn't have a chance to win the national title.
This is pre-playoff, people. This is
so
pre-playoff, yeah.
We were playing Florida State, and they beat us down. My dad counted that I got knocked down 32 times in one game.
Thanks, Dad.
Yeah, they beat us. I still feel some residual soreness all these years later. But, you know, so in one sense, we were out of it, but a lot of weird things happened. We came back and beat Alabama, knocked them off. Texas beat Nebraska, that knocked them off.
From Austin.
And then, you had Arizona State was undefeated, and they lost to Ohio State in the bowl game. So the only other undefeated team was Florida State, and we had a rematch with them. So everything came together, and it was just unbelievable.
It's really cool how the dominoes fell that season. That was one of the first college football seasons I really remember growing up.
How old were you then?
Like, 10 years old at that point.
Yeah. You're a young man.
Just getting into football. My uncle started taking me to Patriots games at Foxborough Stadium.
Oh, that's
I was
awesome.
7 or 8 years old. So
that's
I was so enshrined
cool.
at an early age.
Okay.
Yeah. But really cool. Again, Danny Werfel joining us here on The Course of Life live at the PGA Show. One thing I wanted to get to, because I was always curious about, I mentioned you being a Heisman Trophy winner and that trophy presentation night. I wanted to just get your perspective on that. I know it was a while back, but what's the vibe in that room like, maybe before in the waiting room, the other nominees and leading up to it? Is it calm? Is it icy? What was that experience like for you from your memory?
You know, I think especially the nominees, everybody's obviously very respectful and polite and very supportive of one another. But there is a weird feeling because you know that somebody's life is going to change. It's not like you're just winning an award or something. It's something that's going to impact you. And you know, I'll never forget Coach Spurrier's wife came up to me right after I won. And she said, you know, this is going to be a really special for you now, but you have no idea what this is going to mean for the rest of your life. And of course I didn't, but you know, it means that, you know, 25 years later, I'm at a PGA Super Show talking to you.
It's in every intro.
Yes.
It's in every intro. Yeah. No, very cool aspect of your life that I love highlighting. And that was neat to walk us through the night there. So your relationship with the program, obviously great. You're rocking the Gator shirt now. Tell me what it's like in terms of Gator games. Do you get out to a lot of them in the season? What's your football fall schedule like?
Yeah, typically we'd get to one or two home games. Something changed a little bit this past year. One is I got a little bit more involved in the program, and I've been around working with some of the guys and being a part of it.
Okay.
But probably more importantly is my oldest son now is a student at Florida. So my wife, his mother, all of a sudden wants to go to Gainesville for all the games and see her son. So we were there a lot this fall and really enjoyed being around in the program and obviously seeing our son.
that atmosphere, I still haven't gotten there. I told you I haven't gotten the world's largest cocktail party. I got to get to the Swamp. But for those who don't understand what it's like, describe Gainesville and the Swamp and what that atmosphere is like for Football Saturday.
It's so bizarre. Like, you know, it's overwhelming. It's like, and the colors are a little unusual. You have the orange and the blue. And so in some ways, I remember the first time running onto the field, it was like I entered into like a cartoon world with colors everywhere that was really, really loud.
I love that that's your thought. That's
great. And and just the atmosphere there is unparalleled, of course, in my opinion. And everyone talks about these other stadiums and how loud they get, you know, Tennessee and LSU and some of the other places. And I said, well, if you put up three or four touchdowns in the first quarter like we did, they get quiet real quick.
That's right. That's right. That always does the job. Danny, I'm obsessed minorly with the Gator Chomp. I'm just curious. You probably had a lot of great moments in that building. What's maybe the most epic, like, Gator Chomp fan celebration moment that you remember just off the top of your head?
Man, I remember, Peyton Manning coming in.
Yep, heard of him.
Heard of him. And he was supposed to, Sports Illustrated came, and they were going to have him on the cover, so I hear. And they came in there, and they got ahead. Things weren't looking good. And then we scored 9 straight touchdowns. It ended in the rain. There's a kind of an iconic picture at the end. I did this little prayer with my hands in the rain that then ended up being the cover of a book that I wrote. But that nice. Moment at that time was pretty special at Florida Field.
Very cool. So let's talk a little bit about what the landscape looks like now in 2023. Obviously, things have changed a lot since that 96 run. We now have a playoff system in place with 4 teams, soon to be growing to 12. What's your vibe on just kind of how the playoff has played out and what the potential expansion looks like for college football?
Yeah, I'm very excited about that part of college football. I mean, I remember years ago when everyone just played and played their bowl games, and then some people somewhere just voted, and that didn't seem right. And so when they finally even moved towards more of a BCS game or whatever they called it, that was pretty special.
Yeah.
And I'll never forget the first time they had the playoff of 4. Those semifinal games that first year to me were like electric. And again, even this year, the semifinal games were unbelievably close and fun. So I think that adds a new element. And then when you know, to expand it, to get 12 teams in, I think is the right thing. You're definitely going to get some upsets that you wouldn't have gotten before. It'll give more teams an opportunity to have a shot at the national title that may not. So pretty exciting stuff. That's a part of college football I'm really excited about.
Yeah, it definitely widens that playing field, makes it wide open. The possibilities are endless. So I'm looking forward to the expansion as well. Before we get into some golf and pickleball, I want to do a quick segment with you because obviously NIL is all the rage now in 2023. It's ubiquitous across college football. So it had me imagining what Danny Werfel's NIL situation would look like in 1996. So there's a few different cliche NIL deals that are going on right now. So the first one that goes on is the restaurant deal. So put yourself back in Gainesville or Florida in 1996. Yeah. Who would have been that restaurant or that food sponsor that you would have just gobbled up to partner with?
Ooh, man. Well, we'd love to have some unlimited passes to Chick-fil-A for sure. That one would have been good. Of course, back then, McDonald's would have been great too, or something like that. But
Okay with you eating that in 96?
Coach Spurrier wouldn't have liked it at all. He'd come around looking at your plate and judge your meals, but we'd sneak away.
Very cool. All right, so that's the restaurant food. And then the dream car. Everyone's got the car dealership that's endorsing them now. So 1996, what do you think your dream car was back then that you would have taken?
I don't know back then, but knowing what I know now, I would have gone with a Nissan Maxima. I've had 4 Maximas in a row now and love that car. So
that would have been the most remarkably practical answer you could have given. I love it. Nissan Maxima. And then the third aspect that we love seeing in the NIL is the clothing brand. So what were you rocking back in 1996, and what kind of clothing company do you think you would have taken on as a partner?
I mean, I think Hilfiger was kind of the cool shirt
was
back then.
As big a landscape as there was now.
Was there was Tommy Bahama around back then?
Oh, yeah, they were kicking around that, for sure.
So, yeah. I might have done something like that. I was so out of date in touch with fashion, which I probably still am, that I would have picked the wrong thing for sure. But it'd have been great. Anything would have been great. I had to pay back a round of golf I played that our school found out they gave me free. So I had to pay that back. And now, you know, it's not how it works anymore.
God forbid, yeah. Again, Danny Werfel joining us here. All right, let's get into some golf. We're here live at the PGA Show. I know you play from time to time, but you have a really cool event that you put on as well, too. for charity that you're partnered with. I want to hear a little bit about that and where that takes place as well.
Yeah. So, my kind of life's mission has been through an organization called Desire Street Ministry, started in New Orleans on Desire Street. We work in inner cities across the Southeast. And then I started another foundation, the Werfel Foundation, that promotes service and unity in the world and has an award for college football for community service.
Oh, nice.
So we're doing a lot of really fun, exciting things in a lot of different capacities. And our biggest fundraiser, like many organizations, they found that golf is an incredible sport for a lot of reasons in that it provides avenues to give back. And so we do our take on it. You mentioned the cocktail party, Florida, Georgia, or the Georgia, yeah, Florida game.
Classic game.
So we, right before Florida plays Georgia, we have a Ryder Cup style fan versus fan, celebrity versus celebrity, Florida, Georgia extravaganza.
I love that. That's great.
We do it at TPC usually, or we've done the last few years at Sea Island, Georgia. And we have celebrities and fans competing. And so even if your football team can't win, which recently that's been Florida, we always have a shot to win the Desire Cup on the Florida-Georgia weekend. So there's always hope.
I love that. And that's what, week of the game?
A couple days before? Right before Thursday night gala.
Boy, that sounds
Friday
like a little
morning.
Bit of a road trip for a college football fan there. You want to take all
there
those
you go.
In,
there you go. DesireCup.com. Check
Desire
it out.
DesireCup.com. Okay, very cool. I love that. So, and with golf is where I connected you to the PGA show. Because when I heard that Danny Werfel was playing pickleball, I immediately had to check things out. This is really cool to see because pickleball and the emergence of pickleball in the golf community has grown exponentially in the last couple of years. You now see pros like Scottie Scheffler and Jordan Spieth playing in pickleball pro-am celebrity matches. It's ubiquitous and everywhere, and you were a part of it. What were your thoughts initially when you got into pickleball, and how'd you find it?
Well, someone invited me to play, and they beat the stew out of me. I didn't like that at all, and I actually also loved it. So I've just been playing a ton the last few years. I absolutely love it. There's so many reasons that it's exciting sport, great exercise, great social connection, but the level of competition is never ending. It's like a video game that always levels up. Anyone can play the first level and enjoy it, and Roger Federer and his buddies could play at the top level forever, and it'd be a different looking game. But it's really fun. We actually added a celebrity pro-am pickleball event to our golf tournament, and you know, Drew Brees came and a lot of others, and we had just a fantastic experience. And then here at the PGA show, they have a bunch of pickleball companies here showing their products, and I've been really blessed. Selkirk is one of those companies that's really promoted the sport and supported. They were our sponsor for our event as well, so I'm here to support Selkirk and have some exhibition matches and talk to good folks like you, Alex.
Yeah, you had a couple of women in golf there as well, too, that you were playing with. Tell me about the match yesterday. I saw you playing for a few minutes. You got some good movement out there.
Thank you. Yeah, Sherry Steinhauer won several golf tournaments over her career and is amazing. She plays at the senior pro level. And then Joanne, a tennis player from a very successful tennis player over the years, was there. And then a couple other really good kind of teaching club pro people were out there, and I was blessed to be on the court with them.
Now that's very cool. Love hearing about that. I mean, what's the best part of your pickleball game? I'd say, what do you think? Are you better at the net? You better, you know,
well, you got to be.
I know if you don't get to the net,
if you don't get to the net, you're going to be in trouble. That's for sure. It's hard to win not from the net, but just try to be solid all around. You know, they say in football, offense scores points, but defense wins championships. So you're going to find yourself at a disadvantage a lot. And if you can reset the point to even by playing good defense, that's always good. And then knowing when to be aggressive and when not to is important. Maybe movement. You know, I'm old, but I can still move pretty good for my age. So sometimes that's a plus.
Pickleball forehand, not as bad as maybe a tennis forehand on the shoulder, I guess. It's not quite as bad.
Yeah. That's the beauty of it. I can't throw anything anymore. I can't serve. I have arthritis in my shoulder. I can't even lift my arm higher than this. But I can play pickleball.
Just keep it
there
low.
There you go. Keep it
love
low.
It. Awesome. Danny, we're going to wrap with our 19th hole question. I guess we'll call it a post-pickleball question for this interview. But when you get in after a long round or a long game of pickleball, you get into the clubhouse. What's like your go-to meal and drink order after a long day? What would you like to
Well, don't tell Coach Spurrier.
Okay.
But I go to Waffle House and get 6 eggs with cheese, smaller hash browns, triple tomatoes, triple onions, and sausage, and mix it all up.
Wow. That's quite the scramble you got there.
That'd be good.
That's great. Great answer. Hey, Danny, thank you so much for hopping on the Course of Life. Enjoy the rest of the PGA show, and go Gators.
Thanks, Alex. Go Gators.
And we're back. Great chat there with Danny. The Desire Cup, that's like an hour or two for me.
Yeah, that's in your neck of the woods. That's why I kind of perked up when he started talking about it. I was like, oh, this is a fun little event that I could get involved with.
Yeah.
And you know now, because you spent some time in Georgia, that Georgia-Florida rivalry, especially when it leads up to that game week in Jacksonville, that's the real deal in terms of college football rivalries.
It's unbelievable. It's just, I don't know if I can compare it to anything. I mean, you might get it in Texas, right? If there's like...
Yep. Texas, Oklahoma, and Dallas, Texas, Oklahoma. I'd say, is the comparable one. Yeah.
Yeah. So
that could be a trip for us this fall. That could be a fun little football season trip there. So we'll stay in touch with Danny and his team. But yeah, check out everything he does with the Desire Cup. It's a really great event and great proceeds charity as well, too. And yeah, a first Heisman Trophy winner on the Course of Life. So if you enjoy that as well, too, be sure to subscribe right now and check us out on YouTube as well. We're going to have the video drop this week for that interview if you want to see our video from the PGA Show as well.
Let's talk Super Bowl, Alex, because happened this weekend in concert with the Waste Management Phoenix Open down there in the Phoenix area. So in Glendale, they had Super Bowl 57, Chiefs and Eagles. And I think what really stole the show was Rihanna's baby bump.
Yeah, I know that. Wow, that was a surprise headline. It's funny. In her press conference, they asked her, are you going to be bringing anyone on stage? And she said with a wry smile, yes, I am going to be bringing someone on stage. Yeah. Touche, Rihanna. Well played. And she crushed the performance, too. You may not be quite a bigger Rihanna fan as I am, but she's a pop music goddess of our era. And she has so many hit records. It was really cool to see her go through them all.
I mean, Rihanna was one of the main voices of the music of our childhood, really. And how long she's been around for. Kind of forget how long. Maybe it makes us feel old or we realize they're old. I don't know which one it is.
But Jay-Z signed her in like 04, 05, Mike. How about that for dating Rihanna back there? Wow.
Crazy. How did it feel, though, knowing that you thought Diamonds was going to lead and it ended up finishing the set?
I got the wrong opener and closer for Rihanna. She didn't have sunglasses on. So I got the prop bets portion for the halftime show incorrect. The prop bets I did nail, which were great starts. I got the under on the national anthem by a half a second. Thank you, Chris Stapleton, for being right to the point. That one by half a second. And coin toss, tails never fails, Mike. I knew it was due. I said it. I yelled it to the rooftops and the top of the mountains to everyone that would listen. And that hit. So it was overall a fun night betting the props for sure.
Yep. It was I almost won big at the end of the first half. I was texting you about this, that I had a Super Bowl square where I had a four for the Eagles. A one for the Eagles and a four for the Chiefs. The freaking Eagles decided to kick a field goal.
Yeah, that was the fastest like text to jinx to over that had happened in a long time in my sports watching. You sent that to me, and then seconds later, I was like, all right, they're going right down the field. That bet's over the moment he sent that to me. Yeah. I know how the world works, but a crazy game, a great game nonetheless. Mahomes getting it done in the end. I nailed the Chiefs, nailed the over, so it was good to get the game side of things right. And I mean, listen. People are already doing it, Mike. They're already doing it. We're doing the Mahomes versus Brady thing. It's 7-2, but we're already doing the comparison because we love saying that everyone's the GOAT in football. So I'm already fending off that conversation here in the weeks and months ahead.
Well, like I said before, the reason why I was rooting for the Eagles was because the Chiefs were starting to feel like the Patriots.
And no one wants that vibe again. That's the last thing anyone wants again. Right?
Exactly. Exactly. I just need to say, I thought the commercials I thought there were some good ones in there. I don't think there's anything super memorable, but I thought there were some good commercials.
And really, that was my closing question for you, was not really the best commercial, but just the one you remember the most. For me, it's just that it's that Ben and Jen Duncan commercial, just because that's my life. So.
Yes, that was pretty epic. Make sure you bring a glazed home for Jen, though, Ben, if you haven't already.
Well said. Yeah. Make sure. So overall, good stuff. Super Bowl 57, NFL season in the books, and it's off-season mode now.
For now, though, let's hashtag always end with food.
Yes, and there was the game, but let's get into the food aspect of the game as well, too. Super Bowl spread, pretty down the middle. My highlights, Mike, were Philly cheesesteaks. Just got just frozen ones, threw them in the oven. They were actually surprisingly really good with little to no effort. And Kansas City barbecue sauce, nice and spicy on the popcorn chicken. So I paid tribute to each city successfully. And those are my favorites for the Super Bowl spread.
I appreciate it. I did nothing special for Super Bowl Sunday food. There's nothing. There's nothing special.
Yeah, but I know you went up there for the trip, and you were talking a little bit before the trip on what you were going to accomplish bakery-wise. Tell everyone what you ended up doing bakery-wise in the North End in Boston.
So the question always in the North End is Mike's or Modern, and had to do both. So we did both. We did both Mike's and Modern. And I can say with no reservation and no hesitation, Modern is better.
Okay. And what did you get specifically? What pastries did you get at each place?
What else are you going to get when you go to the North End? You get cannolis.
So you just did a straight head-to-head with cannolis, Mike's versus Modern.
I will say the one difference is we did you know, regular cannoli at Mike's, but at Modern they do mini cannolis, which are only like 3 inches long, a much better size. So I did a mini cannoli there. And the ricotta pastry cream filling was much smoother and Modern. The size was just better. I'm trying not to compare size here, but it was just nicer to have a smaller size.
It is because cannoli, man, those things are so heavy. Yeah, you know, downing a whole one of those, that'll put you down for the evening if you have a finished one of those.
Stuff. Yeah. It's big stuff. But it was just fantastic. And I wish I would have been there maybe for longer to be able to buy more sweet treats, because as I put pictures on my story, and you can actually see it in my highlights as well on Instagram, MWRINC, there is a lot of other things, including lobster tails. That's a very New England name for them, a lobster tail. And along with everything else, other than a cannoli, there's a lot of things there.
Shout out Modern Pastry. Modern over Mike's, it is. The verdict is in. Love that. Okay. That was Always End With Food. Follow Always End With Food on Instagram and COL Podcast on Instagram. Thank you again for tuning into this episode of Course of Life, and we'll see you next week.